With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Episode 421, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Quick reminder, don't forget to reserve your spot for the Hoops Hangout at Seneca Niagara for the March Madness games. For more information on that, you can go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com and all the information's right there. Lots of trade deadline stuff to get to today. We talked primarily Sabres in our last episode.
It's a pretty exciting deadline. Some big names that were moved, some puzzling names, you know, when you think of Jake Guentzel, you know, and what he's done for the Pittsburgh Penguins and him being one of the younger players on that team. It's just, I find it very puzzling that he is the one that's being moved out and it's not, you know, a Chris Letang, a Eric Karlsson, a Malkin, you know, someone along that line that that are a little bit older and just time to move these guys on. But
we'll get into all that. July 20th, Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
I saw that. Thoughts? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Truthfully?
You don't care.
No. I do care. I want to see Mike Tyson punch Jake Paul's head right off his shoulders on live pay-per-view television.
Question. How old is Mike Tyson?
Oh, he's got to be 55. Minimum.
I think they said 57 or something like that.
Okay, yeah. Well, he just fought a few years ago, and I think he was 54, so that makes sense.
Listen, I respect Jake Paul. I really do respect what he's done, and he's just a powerful internet, you know, personality sensation. He's built an empire. He makes an ungodly amount of money. He's got an ungodly amount of followers. And he's done very well for himself.
Master promoter, master promoter. Marketer.
Yeah. Him and his brother have done just incredible, incredible things. And I'm going to tell you this. At the very beginning of this Jake Paul boxing thing, I thought it was the biggest joke of all time. And years have gone by. And I realized as I watch him fight more, watch him train, because I do follow, this man is no joke. This man's no joke when it comes to boxing. He is very capable of holding his own, and he trains like a boxer. Like, he's just not some internet guy who's going into the gym every two or three days. And no, his life is to train as a boxer to get better. And he very clearly has beaten a number of guys. I think his record is like 9-0.
Have you
beating
seen
professional other
yeah,
professional
yeah, yeah.
athletes?
He's beating minus the.
I want to see him fight someone of significance.
Player. Minus the basketball player, Robinson, or whoever he fought that basketball player.
Right,
fucking put him to sleep in a matter of minutes. But anyway,
I want to see him fight someone of significance. That's what I want to see.
Does Tyson cover that for you, or does his age kind of say that's not significant enough?
Because
if you go watch
Andrew,
what have you seen Tyson training?
I don't give a shit, man. He's sparring with his trainer. Come on. This guy is 50. Look him up. Look him up for me and figure this out.
It's increased. What about it? So what are you saying, Tyson?
I think it's a joke.
It's a PR thing. This is a PR thing. Do you remember when Tyson
but
fought?
But when are they going to get past the PR thing?
I don't know that Tyson's a PR thing.
So Mike Tyson right now is 57 years old. He turns 58 on the 30th of June.
Okay.
He's almost 58 years old.
Okay. No way. No.
Like, what are we talking about right now?
You're going to sit here and tell me that Mike Tyson at 58 couldn't knock out half the professional boxers right now?
No. Not even close.
You might be right.
Not even close.
You might be right. I don't know, but I'm going to watch.
He's a heavyweight.
Got my money.
Mike Tyson's a heavyweight.
Money. I've already committed it to it. I'm like, I'm watching this. I want to watch this. I watched the last Tyson fight, which I thought was absolutely a joke.
Like, the next guy Jake Paul's going to want to fight is George Foreman. And hey, you know, I beat one heavyweight champion. I may as well fight another. And it's going to be George Foreman.
Listen, hey, you don't think maybe he's trying to get a real fight, but somebody won't fight him? Because what if he does knock them out?
Who's he going to fight?
I don't know. I don't know who. I don't follow boxing enough. I mean, he's not going to get the big guy, whatever his name is, the super heavyweight guy. That's
Tyson
the
Fury?
Yeah, he's not getting Tyson Fury. But I just mean
that's a joke, Petey. That's like some men's league, hockey league player wanting to go up against Sidney Crosby in an all-star game. Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. What's the purpose of this? Is it just to entertain? Because I'll tell you what, these fights that actually aren't as professional as these other fights, like I'll watch this fight before I watch a Tyson Fury fight. I will watch this fight before I watch, if I were to watch fights. I don't watch fights. I don't watch UFC. I don't watch boxing. I don't, but to me, this is interesting just because it's a name from my childhood. It's Mike Tyson. I mean, like, I never beat Tyson in Tyson's Punch-Out. Can't tell you how many times I tried. All I'm saying is, to me, it's interesting. That headline caught my attention. I was like, what the fuck?
I will watch this fight.
I was like, what is Tyson? Well, I'm going to come to your house and watch it then. We'll do it at the cottage.
When is it, did you say? Sorry.
July 20th.
July 20th.
That's cottage season for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So on trade deadline day, are you glued to the TV? Are you glued to the information that's going on, or are you just kind of like, eh?
Hell no. I didn't check my phone until basically 3:30.
Yeah.
So I had no idea, you know, Kyle Poso had been traded. I had no idea that Johnson was traded. I had no idea that Carolina had picked up Jake Edsel. I mean, I didn't check my phone until 3:30. Where I was able to kind of sit down and scroll through all of the happenings over the trade deadline. That's kind of the way I look at it, you know. What about you?
Much like you, I had a lot going on Friday, so I was just kind of, I was in and out. I turned on the NHL Network at 3 o'clock. There were some trades I was kind of blown away by. I mean, I don't know how. Vegas pulls off the shit they pull off. At the end of the day, the Vegas Golden Knights go and acquire who? Texted you right away. Thomas Hurdle.
And
who's hurt and won't be back until when? Till the playoffs start. That one blew my mind. That one came in really late in the day.
But isn't that an insanely good move on the GM? Like, why are people shitting on him for this move that he made? This is a move that maybe there's others out there that haven't looked at this, right? Like, the Vegas Golden Knights are very clearly understand that their window of opportunity to win Stanley Cups is right now. And it's going to change in the next couple years. They do not have a first-round draft pick in 2005 or 2006. They do not have a second, third, fourth, or fifth round in the 2024 draft. Like, they are depleted in the biggest way, and they are win now. They have the players to do it. Jack Eichel, William Karlsson, Marchessault. Like, they have set themselves up. Anthony Mantha was a big pickup. They are loaded. They are so deep. It is insane. But then you look at, they have guys like Thomas Hertl, who is injured and will be back when? Like,
playoffs.
Playoffs. You have also William Carrier. You have also Mark Stone, who's on long-term IR. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, Alex Martinez is on injury reserve. Like, there's a lot of players right now that they can't even bring back into the lineup because they just won't be able to do it.
They got Noah Hanifin.
Noah Hanifin. I mean, this team's so loaded right now. Once they get everybody back, it is going to be hard-pressed to beat this hockey team. And I'm going to tell you this. I do not blame Kelly McCrimmon in what he did. Like, going out and get Thomas Hertl. Like, Thomas Hertl is an outstanding hockey player. And they have money taken off his salary, because his salary is supposed to be $8.1 or $8.2 million average. You know, you have the San Jose Sharks that ended up taking some of that contract. So it's very interesting. They did a really good job. And I'm surprised, to be honest, I'm surprised that San Jose only got a first-round draft pick out of this. That's what I'm most surprised at. Because he gave up Thomas Hertl and two third-rounders in 2025, 2027. And you're getting basically a 2025 first-rounder, but it's going to be a late first-round draft pick. But I think Mike Greer was more happy to just get rid of that long salary that Thomas Hertl has, get it off the books, starting fresh. And it's very difficult to, like, he was on an 8-year deal, $65 million.
Well, why would Thomas Hertl want to be there?
Exactly.
Like, Thomas Hertl didn't want to be in San Jose anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
30 years old. He had six more year left after this year at a salary cap hit of 8.1 or 8.2. So this is a great move by Mike Greer. He's basically getting the big salaries off of the books, and he's basically starting fresh is what he's doing.
I'm going through all the trades here. Jack Roslovic to the Rangers. It's not a bad move for the Rangers at all.
Yeah, Jack Roslovic, that's the kid from Columbus, right?
Well, originally from Winnipeg.
He's had a tough season. He has not fared as well as most would have thought. If you go look at his point totals and stuff, I looked him up the other day, and he's struggled big time. But again, it's a really solid depth player for the Rangers. I like what Winnipeg did. Sneaky. Just going out and they got Toffoli. They got a Colin Wilson. Colin Wilson's going to be, gave up a fourth round draft pick to the Devils, and he's going to be a depth guy. Colin Miller. Yeah.
Colin Miller. You said Colin Wilson. Colin Miller.
Colin Miller. I mean, there's some teams right now that I think have really, really done a nice job bolstering their roster. Colorado Avalanche, obviously one of the top teams in the league. They have the high-end talent on the forward line and the defense. Their goaltending solid, and they go out and they get pieces that they desperately need. Okay, the Casey Mittelstadt center position. They're picking up Walker on defense, who's a hell of a hockey player. Like, there are some teams right now that are very, very strong moving forward.
Tampa got Matt Dumba.
Tampa got Matt Dumba and Duclair, who scored the other night. Anthony Duclair.
From San Jose.
Yeah.
Teams got better. I'm just looking through here. I mean, how about Boston picks up Pat Maroon? Pat Maroon just keeps getting moved around. Did we say like 6 years ago the Sabres should have got Pat Maroon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just 1,000%.
And everyone said he was done.
How is he
Chad
done?
Chad Ruedel goes to the Rangers. Chad Ruedel, man. Former Sabre. Chad Ruedel.
Yeah, Wemberg from Seattle. All these teams, it seemed like there's a few teams. Obviously, Vegas Golden Knights with the biggest move in Noah Hanifin and Thomas Hertl. You have the Rangers that are very strong and don't need much but support. The Wenberg, the little pieces that are going to help that team through a long playoff run. You have the Colorado Avalanche, I think, did a very nice job picking up guys like Casey Mittelstadt, Sean Walker. They also picked up a kid, too, from the Minnesota Wild. And you would probably know him better than me, but Brandon Duhaime, pretty tough kid. Beat the wheels off someone earlier on in the year. Just a tough, tough third line energy guy with size. I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, man, that wouldn't be a bad guy for the Sabres to kick the tires at. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that made moves that I think are going to be pretty, pretty strong. Florida Panthers picking up Tarasenko. Tarasenko goes on the first line in the first game and ends up with 3 points. Playing with Sam Reinhart and Barkov. I mean, there are some teams right now. There's probably about five or six teams right now that are really, really strong and front runners to make a push here for the Stanley Cup.
Leafs got Joel Edmundson. Carolina got Kuznetsov. Washington shipping out some pieces.
If you had to take one team from, let's say, the Eastern Conference and one team from the Western Conference that you felt made significant moves to make their team better for this playoff run.
I guess you'd have to say the obvious choice is Carolina. Grabbing Getzel and Kuznetsov, that's massive for a team that you said the other day doesn't have any stars and probably is the offensive side of the game is where they're lacking the most. Well, they just got some offensive guys.
Yeah.
So Carolina and then obviously Vegas. I mean, I think Vegas is your, without question, number one contender in the entire league to repeat.
Listen, Vegas Golden Knights right now currently is in the second wild card spot. Okay? They have 75 points. They have teams behind them right now. Teams like Seattle that have a game in hand on them. I know they're 6 points out, but there's still a lot of track to go. There's 18 games. And I am going to tell you this, with Vegas being depleted in their lineup right now, they are not guaranteed to make the playoffs. I mean, they just kind of like they did the head scratcher and picked up a player who is ultimately on IR. Okay. And that does not go towards the cap because Vegas Golden Knights are in a very, very tough situation right now because of salary. So they can't play these guys. They just stick them on long-term IR and they wait until the season's done and then stick this absolutely powerhouse on paper and on in their roster for the first playoff game. But Thomas Hertl, Hanifin, monster picks. But I will tell you this, you mark my words, you watch, keep an eye right now. Oh. You have St. Louis, you have Calgary, you have Seattle and Minnesota that are all vying for that last playoff spot. And you've got to keep an eye on that because Vegas is not guaranteed to make the playoffs. So keep an eye on that.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal.
Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th, and Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close. To me, there's seven teams that literally hit it out of the park. And the first one I'm going to start with is obviously we traded away Casey Mittelstadt. And I'm going to tell you right now, after watching the last couple games, I would do that trade 100 times out of 100 because I think Bowen Byram gives this Sabres team a completely different dynamic from the back end. And he looks fantastic right now. So Kevin Adams has to be extremely pleased with that move. That being said, Colorado picking up Mittelstadt. They're picking up that DeHam kid from Minnesota, who's tough as nails, picking up a really solid defenseman to add to the core with who is the defenseman they picked up from Philly?
Sean Walker.
Really like him. Then you have Winnipeg. I think the trade with Montreal to pick up Monahan has worked out insanely well for them so far. He has played very, very well in Winnipeg, a very strong team. Picking up Tyler Toffoli, who is an older veteran goal scorer, you know exactly what you're going to get from him, the work ethic, the desire. I love that pickup by Winnipeg. You know, Edmonton Oilers are I think, the hottest team in the last, you know, 40 games of this season. They picked up a much needed, I'd say like a third line center. They picked up Troy Skecher, who is basically just kind of like a protection factor on
Skechers
defense.
Are the shoes. Stetcher?
Stetcher, yeah. Stetcher. Right. And they picked up Henrique from Anaheim, which I think was a very, very solid trade because they needed that depth, strong centerman that can really help that secondary and third type scoring and defending. So I really like that for the Oilers. The last one I'm going to say, Petey, I know, you know, the Rangers, they're going to be a pretty tough team to beat. I'm not really big on the Wennberg trade. I don't think it makes them that much better. I do not think that he is he's the type of playoff performer that I would want. But you know what? They needed that. They needed that secondary centerman. And the last one is obviously Carolina with Kunetsov and Getzel. You know, being placed onto a very, very strong team already. Man, is it going to be exciting to watch the end here. I think it's going to be super exciting.
We've been talking trade deadline all week long, and at the trade deadline, teams got to make hard decisions, hard phone calls. But if you've been in a car crash, you do not have a tough decision to make. You only have to call one team. That's Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, 888-888-8888. I'll tell you what I didn't see coming over the weekend. Was the Sabres winning that game against the Oilers? What were you thinking? What were you thinking when it's 1-0 in the first minute of the game?
Well, not only did they score, like, I don't even know when it was.
29 seconds.
29 seconds in, they had a scoring chance. Like Edmonton had a scoring chance, not even like 7 seconds into the game. I'm like, where is the defense? Like, how is it even possible? And then all of a sudden, cycle, shot, boom, shakalaka, it's in the net. And I'm just like, what the hell, man? What is going on here? Right? But listen, the Sabres played well, and it was a fun game to watch. And, you know, Edmonton is a very good hockey team. I mean, they have there were spots throughout the game where I was just kind of like pulling my hair out, going, man, we just have to try and get through this barrage of offensive play from Edmonton because they are dynamic. They are incredible. They are a very deep hockey team. The goaltending, the defense, the forwards, they have everything. And I'm going to tell you, the Sabres show signs that they can play with these top teams. And that's what puts the biggest smile on my face. Watching Tage Thompson, you know, watching Alex Tuck, Dylan Cousins played well. Zach Benson is just, holy shitballs, man. Like, this kid's just a little road runner on the ice. Just working his absolute bag off every single second of the game. It was awesome.
And Bowen Byram, man. I mean, you mentioned him earlier about the trade and how you really like what he adds to the blue line. But Bowen Byram looks,
you know what he adds to the blue line, Petey? He adds a guy that every single solitary game he's going to play 25 minutes.
Yeah, but not
in the
only
game
that,
against Nashville, just, his very
he had
first
so
game.
Much more speed than Casey did. Like, Casey was smart; he could handle the puck, but my God, he was not a fast hockey player. You were not coming out of your seat when Casey Mittelstadt started coming down the ice with the puck. I'm sorry, you didn't. And I'm not trying to rip on the guy because he's not here. I've always said this.
Yep.
Once he gets over the blue line and he goes into that wide stance where he starts stick handling and looking for a pass, he's done. He's out. He's a distributor.
He's not a speed play.
He does not have another gear to get himself out of trouble. Bowen Byram, when he gets going with the puck, he's faster than a lot of our forwards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be very interesting, Petey. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what they do. You know, I watch Joki Haru play. He's a young hockey player. He's 24 years old, I think, which I think is very young for a defenseman playing at his level.
See ya. You don't need him. And it has nothing to do with his ability. Like, if he heard me say that,
I think you're wrong in the sense that when we say you don't need him, right-handed defensemen are that play 20 to 21 to 22 minutes a night.
Yeah, but that's not what he should be playing, Craig. He's not that.
He's been doing that for a couple of years, Petey.
On this team, yes, he's been doing that for a couple of years on this team, and this team has struggled immensely.
When's the last time Henry Joki Haru has been in a situation to play on a strong team where he just doesn't have to be?
Never.
Okay, so why can't we just take a deep breath with Henry? And I sit there
defensemen that we have in our top four.
Okay,
and we don't
so
need
who's
him
our
in
who's
our
top four? Explain to me again.
Oh, they're all lefties.
I just want to hear them.
Is it not obvious? Dahlin,
three of them are,
and in no particular order. No particular order. Just the way they're coming off the top of my head. Dahlin, Samuelson, Power, and Byram.
Okay. So I just want to say this right now. Bowen Byram is playing with Rasmus Dahlin. Okay, pretty insane pair when you think about it. You have Owen Power, who is a young player that's continuing to get better. Okay, he plays with Henry Joki Haru. Now, if you were to have Samuelson play on a line, and let's just say it's Connor Clifton, that is a really good four defense. A very good four defense, still extremely young. All these guys, Henry Joki Haru, 24, Dahlin's 24, Owen Power's 22, Bowen Byram's 22, Connor Clifton, I think, is 28, who's not old, and Samuelson's 24 or 23. Like, that's a really good pairing.
I forgot all about Clifton as your probably your second pair right hand shot, right?
Third pair right hand.
You want him on your third pair. He's your third pair guy.
Clifton?
Yeah.
You think he's going to play in your top four?
I think you're paying him like he's in your top four.
No, you're not.
Okay.
No, you're not. I mean, but I don't even want to discuss, him being in your top four. It's ludicrous.
That's okay. Well, then we don't have a, listen, I've never cared about lefty righty. You were like, that is the way it has to be. I like seeing you change a little bit too, because the reality is, I don't know why you can't have two left-hand shot guys. I mean, what's it matter?
It really doesn't. I'm not going to have an argument. I agree. There are a lot of players and defensemen in this league that can play their offside. I'm not worried about Bowen Byram, Power, Dahlin. They can all play on their offside. It doesn't really matter. All I'm trying to say is, when you look at Matias Samuelsson, he can play a really good brand of hockey. He's a very good player for this hockey team. And all I'm trying to say is, Henry Yoki Haru is a player that I think if the team is a stronger hockey team and you have Bowen Byram as Dahlin that are eating up 25 minutes a night each, and you have Owen Power that's going to continue to grow into his game, Henry Yoki Haru is not a bad defenseman at all. There's another pair. And if you were to have Samuelsson and Clifton, I think that's a pretty damn good pair in itself also. I'm saying that could be a strong top six. I don't know what you do with Jacob Bryson next year, who's going to need a contract. He's played very well since he's come up. He's played very well, very solid. I don't think they want to lose him. You're going to want to try and re-sign him. But then you still have Johnson, that you have to think about, where does he fit in? Do you want him sitting out? So there's some discussions that need to be had, but they're really good discussions moving forward for the defense corps. I think the defense right now is as good as with Bowen Byram on the defense. It just literally, you look at the defense and it's completely different. It's like you look at them completely different than what I've ever seen in the last 13 years. I've never seen a defense corps like that we have currently right now with Matias Samuelsson and everyone back. It's pretty damn good. And they're still very young. The oldest guy is Connor Clifton, who's 28 years old, and the rest of them are all under 24, which is insane. So moving forward, you have a number one goaltender, and it's like you always ask yourself, like, what would happen if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen started from the beginning of the season as the number one, and just how he's playing? It's like, I mean, we'd be in the playoffs right now. No question about it, hands down.
We don't know that.
We don't know that. I'm just saying Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen playing at the level that he's playing at now. Like, I know it started like January 1st or whatever. I'm just saying if we had an Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen that started from day one, we'd be in the playoffs. Because that's how good he's been. He is just completely off the chart right now. So looking at the goaltending, looking at the defense, incredible. Incredible move by Kevin Adams to get Bowen Byram. He gives a completely different element to this hockey team, and he's 22 years old. Well done, Kevin. And they need to try and figure out this forward line. What did you think of the lineup that Don Granato had put together?
It seemed to work.
It certainly was not the prettiest lineup that I've ever seen in my life, but it somehow miraculously worked, because on paper it was like, wow.
What about Skinner's ice time? You happy with what he's been doing with Skinner and Paterka the other night? More so, well, Skinner. I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing. You're the only person that was calling out Jeff Skinner for the longest time. Everyone loved his stats. Kruger ruined him.
No, that's not true.
Kruger ruined him.
No. Ralph Kruger got shit on for doing what he did to Skinner. For two full years, he sat Skinner on the fourth line. Played him with Curtis Lazar, I think it was, and I can't remember the other player that was that he played with. But Jeff Skinner got put in that situation, and people didn't look at why. People were just thinking, well, Ralph, he's the worst coach in the history because he's playing Jeff Skinner on the fourth line. Meanwhile, there was a reason for it. There was an internal reason why Ralph Krueger did that. And Jeff Skinner, insanely skilled hockey player offensively. But that is such a small part of the game. I think you could remove Jeff Skinner from this lineup and the team would get better. I have said this for a very long time. Jeff Skinner scores goals. Jeff Skinner produces points. But I'm going to tell you this. If you take him out of the lineup, I believe that we will get more by subtracting.
Play him like that for the rest of the year.
He should not be given the cookie. Right now, he's not on the first power play unit, which is good. I think that I'm just not in it on these players that just think that their own job, their sole job is just to produce points. And that's why Jeff Skinner is sitting going into, he's going to miss the playoffs probably this year. He's going to be 14 years in a row of not making the playoffs. Jeff Skinner has been given a gift. He's a gifted, highly offensive player. One of the best 5-on-5 players in the National Hockey League the last 7 or 8 years. But he plays comfortable. He plays comfortable. He does just enough to get by and produce points and feel good about his game. His game, when you watch it, Kevin Adams and Don Granato and Matt Ellis and Jason Christie, the people that are watching this, if they actually sat down with him and showed him what he looks like on any given shift, it's like you'd have to be beside yourself.
That'll do it for this edition of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.